All right. Good morning, everybody. God bless you. I know you were just standing for a while and we just had you be seated, but I'm going to ask you to stand with me again this morning, if you would. Get a little more exercise in. Yeah. Hey, before I get into the message this morning, I'd like to have us join our hearts together in prayer. Many of you are probably aware that the Corson family, pastors at Applegate Fellowship, a church that's just blessed this entire area for so many years, they're just going through a very difficult time right now as Peter John is on hospice and dying of cancer. Now, we rejoice in the fact that unless the Lord brings a healing, he's going to be in heaven. So we rejoice in that, but also you can imagine a very difficult time. And I just think it would be good for us as church family to lift up that family and that congregation to the Lord today. So would you pray with me this morning? Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And God, we thank you, Lord, that our eternity, God, our lives are in your hands. And we do want to lift up the Corson family today. We lift up Peter John to you, God. And we pray, Lord, God, that you would just have your way, Lord. And we certainly know that even now, you can do a miracle and you can bring healing to his body, Lord, but we also thank you, Lord, that you are able to bring him home to you. And so we just lift up that situation to you. We lift him up to you and pray, God, that in the midst of all of this, God, that whole family would feel your presence and your love, God. We just pray for his immediate family, for the extended family, and even the church family. May they feel your grace in a very special, powerful way at this critical time, God. And we thank you. And Lord, we pray now as we open your word that your word would have its way in our hearts and lives, transforming us and drawing us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much. And God bless you. You can be seated this morning. Merry Christmas, everybody. Good to see you. And I want to know this morning, are there any husbands that have not yet purchased a Christmas gift for your wife? Anybody here? Because right after service, we are having special prayer for you husbands. So, yeah. Tomorrow night, we're going to have a wonderful Christmas Eve service. And two services, actually, 5 o'clock and 7 o'clock. What a great time to come together as a church family to worship the Lord. Also, a great time for you to invite people. There are more people that will attend, more people that don't usually go to church that will attend a Christmas Eve service than any other time of year, with the exception of Easter. And it's a great opportunity to invite people because people need to hear the message of Jesus Christ. And so tomorrow night, 5 o'clock and 7 o'clock, we're going to have some great, great services. Turn with me in your Bible to the book of Galatians this morning, Galatians chapter 4. Now, at first, this might not look like a Christmas passage, but it actually is, Galatians chapter 4. And we're going to begin reading about halfway through verse 3. Galatians chapter 4, verse 3. We were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because we are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So, you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has also made you an heir. I'm going to draw you back to that fourth verse again because it draws our attention to the incredible planning and timing of the birth of Jesus. Notice what it says. It says, when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. So the birth of Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of many, many Old Testament prophecies. It wasn't by chance. It was the fulfillment of God's promises. It was always God's plan, and an amazing plan it is that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into this world at just the right time, in history, in God's redemptive plan. Jesus Christ was born. Have you ever had an exciting event coming up, and maybe it's a vacation that you planned, or a big day, or someone's birthday or anniversary, and it was a big event, and it was such a big event that you took a big red Sharpie and you circled that day on your calendar, right? And you look forward to that day. Well, that's what God did with the coming of his Son. There was a set day that God had planned beforehand that Jesus Christ would come into this world to fulfill the promises of God and fulfill the promise of salvation. At just the right time, Jesus was born into this world. And notice what it says there about the birth of Jesus. It says, first of all, that he was born of a woman. Now, kind of goes without saying, doesn't it? I mean, pretty much everybody was born of a woman. So why does Paul mention this? Well, he mentions it because there's something special about that. There's something special that Paul is trying to say. Notice that he doesn't say born of a man and a woman, which is the usual way these things happen. He simply says born of a woman because he was indicating and testifying to the distinctly unique conception of Jesus Christ, that he was born of a virgin. Not born like anybody else has ever been born in the history of mankind. Jesus was born of a woman. And then notice it also says that he was born under the law. This was an indication that Jesus was born under within the nation of Israel, that he was born under the Old Testament law of Moses. So there are many, many of these prophecies in the Old Testament. In fact, so many, it would be actually virtually impossible that all of these Old Testament prophecies about when Jesus would be born and where he would be born and how he would be born, all of these Old Testament prophecies, it would be virtually impossible for any person to fulfill all these prophecies without supernatural intervention. And when you read it, it is just so beautiful to go back and consider all the promises of God that are fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, what we're going to do this morning is we're going to just unpack this passage of Scripture, and we're going to treat it kind of like Christmas gifts under the tree, because Paul goes into great detail about what happened when Jesus Christ came, what happened spiritually. And so we're gonna unpack these, because after all, one of the great joys of Christmas time, right, is giving and receiving gifts. Right? It's a joyful time. We're at that stage in our lives now where it's all about the grandkids. And it's all about buying gifts for the grandkids and watching them open their gifts. And it's just so much fun. There's so much joy in being able to do that for our grandkids. One of my favorite Christmas gift memories happened when I was 10 years old. And it actually kind of, it's going to start off as kind of a sad story. But this particular Christmas, my parents, for a number of reasons, really had nothing. And they had no ability to buy us kids Christmas gifts. So, and they kind of warned us ahead of time. And sure enough, Christmas morning would come out, and there is barely anything under the Christmas tree. I think all of us got some underwear and socks. You know, it was one of those kind of deals. And being 10 years old, I was kind of smart enough to know that I didn't want my mom and dad to feel bad about this. So I'm trying to act like it's no big deal. Man, I love these socks, man. And I'm trying to act like it's no big deal, but as a 10-year-old, oh man, I was so disappointed at the same time. And then my younger siblings, for them, it was really hard for them. And so it was kind of a downer of a day, to be honest with you, until later that afternoon, my Uncle Don, my dad's older brother, and my Aunt Barbara came over to the house. Somehow they had picked up on the fact that my mom and dad were having a hard time financially. So they came over to the house, which was not that unusual, except for this particular Christmas, they came with boxes of gifts. And every one of us got a very special Christmas gift from my Uncle Don and Aunt Barbara. And they kind of saved Christmas for our kids. And I got this football game that I played with the rest of that day and the next day and the next day until I finally broke it. But they just, and it, for me, it is such, and I think probably just as a child, going from being disappointed to being so excited, that just left this indelible mark upon a good memory for me about a very special Christmas day. And what we're going to do this morning is we're going to unwrap some very special Christmas gifts that come to us through the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, for some of you in this place, you discovered the gift of salvation many, many years ago. And my prayer for you today is that that gift of salvation has never lost its luster. My prayer for you is that the gift of salvation is as precious to you, if not more, today than it was when you first found it. And if you kind of feel like, man, I've just lost that excitement, I want to give you good news today. If you will ask God, God, restore my first love, by His Holy Spirit, He will do that. Perhaps all of this is new to you, and maybe you're a brand new Christian, and you're at that phase of just discovering more and more and more. My prayer for you today is that the Word of God is going to cause you to appreciate even more what we have in Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never received the gift of salvation. And I want to say to you today that these promises that we're about to talk about, they're not just for us, they're for you too. They're available to you. But just as any gift has to be received, any gift that's given also has to be received. These gifts that are available to you, you have to receive them from the Lord by faith. I will tell you this, at the end of this message, I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that, to receive the gift of salvation. And it will change your life forever. And so we're going to unpack these very precious gifts today. And Paul begins in this passage by talking about where we are spiritually without Christ. He says, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of this world. This is a description of where we are when we don't have Christ. We're in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. Listen, sin is not only dangerous because it's an affront to a holy God. Sin is dangerous because it casts a spell on us and it holds us captive. But thanks be to the Lord, He is the one who sets us free. Amen? This is how we all are without Jesus. That's why Christ was born into this world. Jesus said, whoever continues to sin is a slave to sin. It's a spiritual reality. But then notice this great promise that Jesus came in verse 5 to redeem. Everybody say redeem? To redeem those under the law. So gift number one that we're going to open this morning is the gift called redemption. It's a gift of redemption. Now, in the time of Christ, slavery was not necessarily a racial thing. It was more of an economic thing. People that were poor, people who had so much debt they couldn't pay their debt, would put themselves into indentured servanthood in order to pay off their debt. So this wasn't a lifelong sentence. People could be released from servanthood. And they could be released if one of three things happened. First of all, they could be released if their owner just had mercy on them and said, I'm forgiving your debt and setting you free. The second way they could be released is they could actually redeem themselves. Over a period of time, they could save money and save money and save money and pay off their debt and be set free. A third way they could be set free is if there was an outside party, a third party who would have mercy on them and pay their debt for them. So in these three ways, people could redeem themselves or be redeemed from servanthood. So that's what this word, very powerful word, that's what this word meant to the people that Paul would have been writing to, that Jesus came to redeem us. You see, our debt was so great, we couldn't pay it ourselves, even if we wanted to. No amount of spirituality or doing good things or giving in offerings, we can't redeem ourselves from our sin. Also, our sin is so great, no one else can redeem us either. No one else can pay the price for my sin or your sin. The only way that we can be redeemed is that God himself paid the price in full for our redemption. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. It was not with perishable things such as silver and gold that you were redeemed from your empty way of life, but with the precious blood of Christ. When Jesus died on the cross, he paid the full redemption price to set us free. I'm going to say that again because I don't think you're getting it. When Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood, he paid the full redemption price for our sins. Amen? Yeah. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, the Christmas gift of God, is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Church, we celebrate this Christmas because redemption, freedom from our sin, is a joyous thing. Amen? We rejoice in the gift of God. We rejoice in our redemption. Listen, I understand as Christians, we go through trials and tribulations and we can have ups and downs in life, but I gotta say, I've never understood a perpetually mopey Christian. If you're a grumpy Christian, you have forgotten how blessed we are. We're blessed. Jesus has redeemed us. So gift number one is redemption, but it doesn't stop there. There's more. Not only did he redeem us, gift number two is adoption. Adoption. That we might receive adoption to sonship. So it's one thing to pay someone's debt and set them free and change their life. It's a whole nother level to actually adopt them as your child. And that's what God has done for us. He's paid the debt. He has set us free, but he's also adopted us. We are his sons and daughters. So this morning, I want you to know this. God wants you to know that you're free. But God also wants you to know that you're loved and that you belong and that you're his. We're redeemed and then we're also adopted. But wait, we're not done. There's more gifts. Gift number three is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Verse 6 again. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Now listen, as wonderful as human adoption is, there's one thing adoptive parents can never pass on to their children, their adopted children, and that is their own DNA. As much as they love them and they're every bit as much as the family as the natural children. They can never really pass on their own DNA. But this is not true with God. When God adopts us into his family, he actually imparts to us his spiritual DNA. Because when we're adopted into the family of God, God sends his very spirit into us. And he indwells us. So now when we say we are children of God, we actually have God's spiritual DNA because the Spirit of God is in us. It's an amazing thing. And this Spirit, it says, causes us to call out, Abba, Father. Now, this was the most endearing word that they would use for their father. It would be like us saying daddy or dad or pops or whatever your term of endearment is for your dad. I know for me right now as a grandparent, somehow, I don't know how I got this, but my grandkids call me Papa. And I got to tell you, whenever they come into the house and they say, Papa, man, it just makes my whole heart smile. It's a term of endearment. And this is how the Holy Spirit in us relates to the Father. He is Abba to us. He is Daddy to us. This is how Jesus referred to the Father. This word Abba, Daddy. The first time we know that Jesus used that word was when he taught his disciples to pray. He begins the prayer, our Abba, our dad, who's in heaven. Another time that Jesus used this word Abba was on the other end of his life on earth, was on the cross, where he says, Dad, into your hands I commit my spirit. So it's a closeness when things are great and when things are bad. It's closeness to our Father. And then one more gift. So we have the gift of redemption. We have the gift of adoption. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then gift number four is we have the gift of eternal life. Eternal life. You are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. An heir. So we have, church, we have an inheritance. We have an inheritance. Again, Paul is drawing on something that people in that culture would have related to. They would have understood these words. It was very common for entire families to be indentured servants and to actually grow up from the time they were children in this household that they're serving in. And so what that meant is that the children of the servants would grow up side by side with the children of the owners, and they would be best buddies. They would be friends. They would play together. They would go to school together, and they would basically become a part of the family. And it was not that uncommon at some point for families to actually adopt those children as their own children. And when they were adopted into the family, they became full family members. They had all the same rights as the natural children. And so now, after the parents are gone, these children don't become servants again. Now, these children become heirs. In other words, they will never be slaves again, and they will never be poor again. They will have an inheritance. And I want you to know, church, through the goodness and kindness of Jesus Christ, you will never be a slave again. You will never be poor again. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. Because we are co-heirs, the Bible says, with Jesus Christ. We have an inheritance. Listen, church, the best is yet to come. I'm going to say that again. The best is yet to come. We have an inheritance, yeah. And while this world has so many things that are wonderful and they're a blessing, never forget When we leave planet Earth, things only get better. They only get better. In fact, every difficult thing we've ever gone through in this life will be forgotten because it will pale in comparison to the blessings that we will enjoy for all eternity. So, church, we've been redeemed. We've been adopted. We've been given the Holy Spirit. And through Jesus Christ, we have an eternal inheritance. The gifts of salvation. I'm going to go back to a passage I alluded to earlier. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift for all of us. Listen, I don't believe that anybody is predestined to go to hell. I believe people wind up in hell when they reject God's offer of salvation through Jesus Christ. I don't believe God decided ahead of time he's going to send you to hell. This gift of salvation is available to every person. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It's a gift for all of us, but it's a gift we have to receive. God extends this gift to us, and then it's up to us. What are we going to do with the gift that God is offering us? Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Listen, church, the greatest, if you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you've not given your life to Jesus, or you've known Jesus, but you've drifted from the Lord, the greatest Christmas gift that's available to you today is not something you're going to ever find under your Christmas tree. It's the gift that God gives you, the gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ. And so in this Christmas season, I want to extend to you this invitation to receive Jesus Christ, to receive all that he has for you, to receive eternal life, redemption, the forgiveness of your sins, adoption into the family of God, to receive his Holy Spirit, because when you give your life to Jesus, he fills us with his Holy Spirit. The Bible says if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away and everything becomes new. It's a gift of God. And so I'm going to ask this morning, are you here and you have not given your life to Christ, or you're not walking with the Lord and today you want to come back to the Lord? I want to invite you to pray with me this morning to receive Christ into your life. And so today, if that's you, I'd just like you to let me know by just raising your hand. And in just a moment, I'm going to count to three. And when I get to three, if today you want to be included in this prayer, I'm going to ask you, just hold your hand up. And you're just saying, Tim, today I'm going to open my heart to Jesus Christ. Today I'm going to pray to receive Christ or recommit my life to Jesus. When I get to three, and I want you to know, you might be sitting there and you feel like you're unworthy of this gift. The reality is none of us are worthy. We all come to Christ unworthy. We all come that way. This is a gift from God. It's not something you earn. It's not something we deserve. We don't make ourselves worthy. It's a gift from God. And so today, if you'd like to receive this gift of salvation, when I get to three, just raise your hand up and you're just saying, Tim, I want to be included in this prayer. One, two, three. Yeah, awesome. Right up here. Right back here. God bless you. Others this morning. Today's your day. Yes, God bless you right there in the back, sir. God bless you. Right up here in the front, young man. Others today. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask those of you who raised your hand, I'm going to ask you to just pray along with me. I'm going to lead you into prayer. And church, I'm going to ask you to join those that have raised their hand today in this prayer. Father in heaven, I bring my life to you today. I thank you for the gift of salvation. Today, Lord, I open my heart up to you. God, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. that you would wash them and redeem me. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you came into this world, that you died on a cross, and that you've risen from the dead. Lord, I believe you died on that cross for my sins. Lord, come into my heart. Change my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Father, right now I pray, God, for those that just prayed that prayer, I pray that you will baptize them in your Holy Spirit, that you will fill them with all that you have for them, God. Lord, that this Christmas is going to be unlike any other Christmas they've ever celebrated, because they're going to more than ever before understand exactly what we celebrate when we celebrate your birth, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.